be a little bit more mobile as my mother was aging. So I'm half my time's in Minnesota, half my time's down in Slinger where my kids are adults and living. So here's what it would look like to work with us. If you decide that you want to do a community service, you'd be hiring this team to work on your behalf. Our founder, Bill Foster, Rob, our research guy, and Carrie, and I would be writing and launching your survey to all of your voters in the community. Background about our company, we're an independent Wisconsin-based educational research firm, August Slinger. We've done over 3 million staff, student, parent surveys for school improvement in all 50 states and 5 foreign countries. And we've helped over 1,300 districts navigate strategic planning and referendum planning, whether that is operational referendum needs or capital building-based reconstruction or building new buildings type of needs. We've done this since 2002 when the company was founded. So let's talk about why would you want to do a community survey? Bottom line is, by doing a survey, you can educate your community members on the needs of the district, gather data to understand your community members' educational and financial priorities, establish a tax tolerance associated with potential projects or operational referendum, and then ultimately, once we complete our project, decide if or when a referendum should take place. Along the way, we don't just like to ask for a feedback on building and financial needs. We also have an opportunity to interact with them and just ask them, how are things going for the district? How do you feel? So we have some overall satisfaction questions we ask on every one of our surveys, as long as we're having an interaction with your community. Bottom line is, with community surveys, people are more likely to support a plan that you put on the ballot if they understand the plan and they have a voice in creating the plan through their feedback. It keeps you from guessing about what your community would support and would not support. You can go into a ballot question in form. What's different about us, most research firms across the country take the approach on the left. They do random sampling. And I don't know about you, but so many times I see statistics about surveys and say, I've never received that phone call. They've never asked me. Our approach is the approach on the right. When we are hired by a school board, we send a survey to every voter in the community. We don't use a phone. We don't believe in the phone process that some surveyors use because people don't answer the phone anymore when they don't recognize the number. We mail a survey to every house. It's more like an interactive newsletter. It's a booklet with just a few key critical questions. And what we do is we mail it to every household, but then once it's in their hands, they can take it one of three ways. They can old school pen and paper, mail it back to our headquarters, we'll enter the results at the Slinger office, or they can QR code it, or they can do a web link. There's three different ways that they can take the survey, two of them high-tech, one of them old school paper pencil, mail it back. What do the surveys look like? We've never done a survey that looks the same as another. Every district has unique needs, unique story, unique financial situations. We customize the survey to your needs, to your wishes. Everyone, though, does start with an opening letter. This is one we did for Holman where we introduced, hey, this is why we're reaching out to you. We need feedback. This is what's going on. And right below that opening letter, this is what it would look like where they have their options for how to take the survey. They can do that web link, feedback 2000. They can do the QR code, or they can mail it back. In the red box would be a 16-digit alphanumeric code that prevents people from taking the survey more than once. So there's no ballot stuffing for or against the project. And then we also ask, it's highly anonymous. We do not ask for their name, but we do ask for their age so we can study demographic data for you. Which age groups are more supportive, less supportive? We can break your data out by municipality. We can break it out by are they an employee of the district? Do they have children in the system? And while we're asking them questions, we ask them, how do you like to communicate with the district? How do you like to hear about district news and information so that you know, is your community a newsletter community? Or do they like to get emails? Do they like people just to go over to Facebook and the website? We're seeing newsletters making a huge comeback. People like to be able to grip their school news and get to it when they have time versus remembering to go to the website, remembering to go on Facebook. So the time frame to keep in mind, and this is one of the big things that you'll need to think about tonight,
and I'll answer any questions. I've got two slides, and then I'm done. Once we write a survey, it typically takes 4 to 6 weeks. If we were to do a survey this fall, we need to move quicker than that. But once it's written, it takes 8 weeks from start to finish. 8 weeks to send it to a printer, get it printed, 2 to 3 weeks. We like to have a 2 to 3 week window where it's out in the community, ideally 3 weekends, because that's when people pay their bills, they get their groceries, they do their yard work, and they take their survey on the weekend. The weeks can be too busy with work and personal life. And then we typically ask for at least 2 weeks to process your results, because sometimes surveys come in late in the mail. We want to have every voter, every taxpayer to have their data added to your results. Just to give you kind of an idea of what a timeline would look like, if we were to start working on a survey on your behalf in the next week or so, we could get a survey written by the end of October, get it off to print, hopefully get it to voters by the second week-ish of November, have it close at the end of November, and we could be presenting results and giving you an analysis of reaction from the community at your December board meeting, so that you can then decide, do you have enough support for the questions you ask to proceed with a resolution written by one of those law firms you were talking about earlier, where they would put a ballot question on the ballot for April if you're so inclined. This timeline would align very nicely with a April ballot question. If you decide too fast, too soon, then we start working with you in February, get you results by April or May, and then you'd be in a great position to put something on the ballot in November. We always urge districts to survey 6 months ahead of their vote. It gives you time to plan and decide what you're going to put on the ballot. Keep it fresh in the minds of the voters so that when they go on the ballot, they're like, oh yeah, that's what they asked us in that survey. You wait much longer than 6 months, you do a year out, and people's memories get fuzzy. What was that survey about? What does the school district need? And then they go to the ballot box, not quite remembering what the survey was all about. So, that's our methodology in brief. We've done, like I said, this slide's got to be updated. We've done over 1,300 community surveys over the past 22 years. And if that's something you'd like our assistance with, I would be honored to work with Troy on developing a survey that would be approved by the board in the weeks or months ahead. So that's who we are. Any questions for me?
Can I start?
Sure.
All right, Garrett. One of the questions we talked about at our special meeting was the need for the community to understand how Fund 80 revenues are generated versus Fund 10. And then the questions that go along with a possible Fund 80 questions versus operational referendum, blah, blah, blah. Could you incorporate both of those in one survey? And could you strategically do that so that people don't understand that the Fund 80 questions have to do with the referendum or vice versa?
Yeah, we certainly could. I mean, we pride ourselves on being able to try to write our surveys in a very understandable manner, so we need to work very closely with you and your business manager on explaining it as succinctly as possible, because we always try to take an approach where we write our surveys to a fifth grade level, so that every voter, we don't use terms like 21st century learning techniques, or STEAM or STEM, we talk about tech ed and shop. I mean, we try to use terms that people understand. So we want to understand your message. We have a professional journalist on our team who has wrote for 10 years for the Madison Cap Times, and he has to write articles that every person can understand. We'll be able to get that message across. We just need succinct language, clear financial impact details from you on what kind of money we're talking about, and we'll put those questions in front of your taxpayer.
Are your surveys going to go to all taxpayers, which would include businesses that may not live in the community but have businesses in the community that pay for the tax?
We would get a mailing list from the school district, and if they don't have one, we have a professional company that can get a school district mailing list, and so every address on that mailing list, a survey will go to them. Now, you ask a good question. If that business owner takes the survey and says, are you a resident of the school district,
we filter out the results. We are measuring on your behalf voter feedback, not every address's feedback. So that's one of the things that we have to filter out for you. And we are really trying to focus on voters. Same goes for staff. We'll send a survey to every staff member because we want their reaction to the survey concepts that we're asking about. But if they're not resident staff members, we filter them out. We want to honor their opinion, but in the end, when we give you results, we're going to measure our results based on taxpayer reaction.
Will we see the results of the ones we pull out, though?
Sure. We can tell you overall reaction. If that's something you want to know, we can tell you holistically how everybody responded. But in the end, when it comes down to it, and we give you a projection of if you put this on a ballot, what would the, we've got a 94% predictability rate. That means that our 22 years, our data has matched what's happened at the ballot 94% of the time. If we say it's going to pass, 94% of the time it passes. But also when we say, nope, you don't have the support, we've been correct about that 94% of the time too, even when boards say, well, we're going to put it on the ballot anyway and just see. That's how reliable our surveys are, based on voters. But by all means, if you want to know how the non-residents feel and how the non-resident staff members feel, sure, we can provide you any of that data you want. Mm-hmm.
Do you, I know this discussion topic is going to come up. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that our timeline is too crunched to go to April? Or if we have an idea of what we want to go with, hey, Troy, have a couple meetings, put your team together, da-da-da-da. Do you think we're rushing it too fast for April?
My honest opinion is, can we get it done for you? Yes. If you're very succinct in what you want to ask, we can get this done for you. If there's going to be a lot of board debate about, and the board wants to review multiple drafts before they're comfortable with it, it goes to print, this could be a bit of a start late date. It could be a bit too late. It depends on how sophisticated the questions are, or are we trying to ask something fairly direct? And from talking to you, I sense we're asking a fairly direct question, but that it depends on how involved the board wants to be and how many different drafts they want to see. Because I'll go back to the timeline. You know, in a perfect world, we're finalizing by the end of October. So that gives us a month to rewrite it. But not much more time, and that's why I guess I'd have to give you a, it depends. It depends on how sophisticated this gets and how much wordsmithing the board wants to do with us. We pride ourselves in writing very succinctly. Our research guy, Rob, the guy that you saw the opening slide, has studied it, and the less words, the higher the response rate. So we really try to write it efficiently in a manner that everybody understands, and they can very clearly say, you bet, I would support that because we need to have that take place in Clintonville. So we have time, of course. We absolutely do. But we'd have to start talking and meeting early next week and get rolling.
You mentioned Troy and business manager, so say Troy and Troy. Who else has been on a meeting or mini committee to help do the backbone structure before we bring it to the board and say yay, nay, etc. Who has been on that?
Sometimes we have a board treasurer if they're intimate with the budget. Not always. Typically, a board sits back and waits to get a draft of the survey from the superintendent. Generally speaking, it's Troy and Troy.
It's done. I haven't submitted. I'm just kidding.
Okay, very good. Very good.
I'm just kidding, Darren.
Sounds like
you
just got
to
write stuff on it.
Yeah.
Troy,
I hope that it's believable that the survey isn't actually even written here. I would say typically it's the superintendent and, like, if it's the facilities, building the grounds leader. If it's the if it's financial, then it's the accountant or the chief financial person. So.
By the way, Darren, I always speak on behalf of the board. So I'm just kidding. Never speak on behalf of the board.
Yeah. So, by the way, yes, we have time, but This is not going to be like Altoona just went to print on this morning. We started talking with them in February, but that was also a very sophisticated facility thing. This is a direct operational question where we're just talking about two different funds. We can get this written in the weeks ahead.
Question. Do you think it would maybe pay to do something like the spreadsheet you just made for the financial questions, yeah, whatever, and we do the same thing and put Bellum on there, what ideally you'd like to see, that you got a good idea where...
That's where my brain went. We have great common themes.
Yeah.
And then the board treasurer and I.
And the groundskeeper.
Sit down and fine tune his presentation. All right. Anybody else? I'm just so happy you got the technology board because the technology guy.
And I'm going to have dreams tonight about the Blair Witch Project. There you go. All right. Yeah. So, again, invite whoever you need to lean on the most, Troy. I'll wait to hear from you, and we'll have a kickoff call whenever you're comfortable, okay?
All right. Sounds like a plan. I appreciate it, Darren.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me listen in on your exciting stuff that's going on in Seminole, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks. All right. Anybody have any items for future discussion?
Wait, we got to make this an action item.
I thought we already voted on hiring.
Well, we have hired them. If that's the case, then Stephen, Jason, I'll work with Nick Curran. I'll get out a thing for you guys to submit questions. But when Dina or I send you that email, hopefully some of you have some ideas right away, and then you can create common themes. That means you have to check your emails.
So do you action?
Don't leave me. I'm checking
first, or is that pulled enough?
We already hired them.
Okay.
It's just basically.
So do we need to direct you to get going within the next week?
I'll make the motion to proceed as we just discussed.
I'll second that.
All right, it's official. Motion by Motor, second by Strawman. Further discussion? Questions?
So we had Nick here last week. There's a few items that we touched on. He mentioned well-worded and the number that is defined.
Yep.
We're going to be able to have Nick get that to us.
Yeah, because we have to end up that for the annual meeting.
Which one's the big step? This one?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Moving on, items for future discussion. Anything?
Okay. I guess I just want, and I'll talk about with Stephen and Jason on this. When we talk about the survey, I think we need to be very upfront in education that it is to address our current operational needs, predicted future operational needs, meaning by putting money into Fund 46. Okay.
Making, you might want to make sure you explain that,
yep,
a little bit further, that it's to cover new roofs.
Yep.
Future maintenance.
Yeah, future
maintenance.
To I'm trying to think of the budget term. The liability that sets out there for retirements, even though it's sunsetted, it's not fully funded. It's about halfway funded. We're doing good on that. But then that'll be sunsetted. Then we don't have to worry about retirements doing that. And then the last thing would be to address current athletic facility improvements, updates. Safety was the big one that we had talked about. Just to be transparent with everybody.
What about the middle school sports department?
I think that we do at the local level. Yeah, I think that's a local decision because it makes sense. If we're going to get state aid for it, let's move it back. Correct?
Okay. Do you need them to vote for that? So I didn't talk that
No, we can do that internally. That makes financial sense to move it back over to Fund 10 and make it state aidable.
Yeah. If that's part, if that's, oh, I get what you're saying. I think you're saying we somehow educated in the referendum why we need that additional money because then we can get state aided. Well, now local taxes are paying for it. Is that what you said to me?
Because it's going to resonate more.
Correct. Yes. I get what you're, where you're going with that now.
So we've talked about, you call it the firing squad.
Yes.
Is this something we should do before we put out a survey? Because just like what Huffman has brought up, I think good education of the public would go a long way for them, you know, making a better.
I will personally be the face of this, like you and I have talked about. Once we get our survey figured out and what we're going to put on that survey, then I think it's Jason, myself, Nick, Jessica, Stephen, whatever. We have to put that internal strategy of whether it be going to churches, Lions Club meetings, Rotary, whatever, to, as you put it, the firing squad. Drill Troy and ask him a bunch of questions.
I said it was an open house. Just ask questions.
No, that's fine. I'm okay with that. As long as I know the direction that the board wants to take and we're unified, I will agree to that. I think that's part of my job.
Well, it shouldn't be a firing squad.
No.
I know what you're saying, but, you know, it just, that transparency and openness to help everyone.
I agree.
Anything else? Well, the announcements are there, and I would take a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Second. Mark? Right? Motion by Zacco, second by Motor. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are done. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Is it going to be I don't know how I feel.
It's my favorite part.
Sometimes it's one sheet of paper I will cherish. Huh? Pretty she did? Oh, I was like, put that on there.
If you want, I can email that to you.
Okay.
Go online and find it. Okay. All right.